This is the Krillcast Live. I'm Chris.
And I'm Will.
And I'm moving.
Spencer's still moving 2 years later. I think you were moving in a previous podcast, moving boxes and trying to get things set up a while
back. Yeah, you know what? That would have happened on one of our earlier episodes, because I do remember we started talking before I got COVID, because that was Christmas of 2020.
Oh, demonetized. But, no, I'm just kidding.
Dang it. Not if you get it. If you get it, then that's a hate crime. If they demonetize you for saying you got it, then it's a hate crime.
That's a fair point.
But, yeah, so I remember, yeah, I think we did one shortly after. Yeah, because I barely had an office.
You did it on Hotspot. That's right. You hotspotted your phone to do it. That's what it was.
You got to use that unlimited data sometime, and I'm sure I'm going to have that exact same thing happen in the new place. But the new place will have more space, so hopefully I don't have to live in a – in this for more than 2 weeks.
Oh Jesus! Wait, are you guys are actually moving and move like actually moving again?
Moving. Yeah. We're moving. Okay. It's like 5 minutes from where we are now, but it's gonna be way bigger, way nicer. And good. due to of anyone out there who's looking at buying a house or a new apartment, horrendously expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not moving for a while, even good though my plan. House value has gone up significantly since living here. It's not worth it.
No, I'm just going to wait until the economy bottoms out, and then I'm going to buy a
house. Oh, dude, I'm going any day now, getting that recession. Any day, I'm ready for it. Bring it on.
Like, I got a nest egg to buy a house as soon as we hit the lowest point of our economy.
Mm-hmm. Other people's pain is my gain.
Jeez, this is so bad. Okay, great way to start moving a podcast on, about, about Halo, talking about low points of society. Mm-hmm. All right, we are in the current state of Halo, and I was going to open this up with a question to Andrew, but since he can't make it tonight, I'll tell you what the question was going to be.
Okay.
What at this point would convince a person who's never played Halo to join the Halo cult? And since Spencer is the newest member of the Halo cult that I know, do you feel like it was worth joining the cult this late in the game?
So I'm still on my journey. I'm now working my way through ODST.
The great journey.
ODST, that's a good one.
It is a journey. I've not reached the peak. Once I hit like reach, it'll just be all downhill from there until I get to infinite. But you know what's funny? I was thinking, like, just to be really timely, we should just call this episode of the Krillcast the "Is Halo Entering the Great Recession?" I'm like, yes. Because it's like, I feel like when I got into it, I was definitely in the bandwagon camp. Get the fridge, get the system, get the game, get the steelbook. And now it's like, yeah, like, I'm still excited to play Infinite, and I'm glad that at least that by the time I get done with the series, I bet the
co-op here by then.
Co-op will be out, and so that'll be fun. But it's like, wow. One of my friends like showed me a funny like 4chan green text post, and it was like, be a long dormant shooter. The best shooter of all time last year. And it showed like a picture of Master Chief. And it'd be like universally loved, even though you're pretty short and didn't have much for multiplayer updates later on down the line. Also picture not related. We were talking about Metroid Dread. And I was like, you know what? It's kind of sad because it's like, even if you think about it, unequivocally, Halo was the best FPS last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yes.
And I what's funny is I've actually played all of them but Halo Infinite. Like, I played the multiplayer, but, like, even my time with the multiplayer, because I played Battlefield. That's all you really need to say about that. I liked Vanguard, but Vanguard was always, like, there has to be an asterisk next to it. The campaign was solid, but didn't do anything crazy. Multiplayer was fun, and Zombies is still hilariously, like, a shell of its former self. So it was kind of that funny thing of, even though I really liked Vanguard and enjoyed the like $70 campaign I got with it, it was just one of those things of like, yeah, Halo definitely won. But it's funny of like each of those games, I feel like Call of Duty has gotten the least flack just because people kind of went into Vanguard knowing to dog on it. Battlefield just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. At the very least, big ups to DICE for, because I feel like every couple of months you hear Battlefield is going to go free to play or DICE is dropping support. And at least they came out recently and had a statement saying, we're not dropping it. This is our most embarrassing game of all time. We can't drop this game. So that's at least good. But I mean, considering it took them like 6 months for leaderboards and one map and two new guns, I'm not that optimistic. But then going into Halo doesn't have that much better of a track record for how long it took us to get to season 2. And what I feel like should have been a bigger moment entering season 2, it's like, the only people I hear talking about Halo now in a like community sense are people either disappointed with the lack of communication or the communication we get is basically being like, yeah, that's going to be all you're getting for like an entire month, if that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Halo's in a weird place right now. And
sure,
when it launched, if I had known that this is where we would be at this time, I would have said delay it another year. Like, I would have said, put that thing on halt.
That's another year. That's the craziest thing. This game was delayed a year.
I know.
What were they going to give us?
I am 100% convinced. So there's been some rumors to this point, but I'm convinced that they rebooted the entire thing.
Oh, and 100%.
Within that year, this is what they were able to cobble together. And with that in mind, it's pretty impressive what they have, but I'm still disappointed that there's such a lack of content for multiplayer. I still think the campaign's really good. I'm really sad about not having co-op. It is finally coming. And the thing is, now the rumors are, because it's a live service, quote unquote, they had been talking about freaking campaign DLC since the beginning, like years ago. And
I was going to ask, have they really actually said campaign DLC? I remember they've said maybe updates. But like, I can't imagine they would
look it up. I'm pretty certain they are like, yes, is the idea is that there would be more campaign.
You guys have both finished it, right? Like, I think that's at least the one thing. If there was something to bring people back to Halo, I think if they do a refresh of the game, because I think the big rumor now is 3.0 season 3 hopefully will launch with Forge or co-op and maybe something new for campaign, because it's like, what else has your ginormous team done? Like, if
breaking news, guys. On June 23rd, our friend Sean W. revealed that an unnamed source within 343 said that there is campaign DLC in the works, but it will not be released anytime soon.
Yeah, so I saw this leak, and they're talking about releasing it in like 2024, which is like, what is going on? That's a whole other game.
Maybe it's a really big DLC. That's the only reason I can.
Who's
going
to be playing the game at that point? I mean, like, I'll still get it because I love Halo.
But they're going the Destiny route, guys. They got to wait till the momentem has completely died to
Destiny,
reboot the series midway.
Destiny
through the
release shit every couple months. Okay. No.
Well, to be fair, remember, no one actually liked Destiny DLC until The Taken King. Destiny DLC was bad until they finally did Taken. And then even that, like, Taken King was literally like the only good DLC in Destiny 1. Like, Destiny 2 didn't get good.
Wasn't there the Witch something or other?
The Witch thing is, there's a bunch. There's like the Iron Wolves. There's like, because remember they would do the campaign expansions that were like $40, and then they would do like the $20.
Yeah, well, you had the House of Wolves. You had Taken King, obviously. What was the other one? Oh, the Dark Below. That was the other one. And then Iron Lords or something.
Yeah, each year had a season pass. There'd be the game for 60, then the expansion for 40, and then in between the expansions would be two DLCs as part of their season pass. By the way, I was thinking about this recently. You guys remember the fact that Destiny, as part of the Activision deal originally, which God feels like forever ago, there were supposed to be four Destiny games, and we only ever got two? Because I was thinking about this recently of like, if you're Bungie, wouldn't you like really want to get rid of the two? Like, who looks at the fact that it's called Destiny 2 and are like, great, this seems like a great place to jump in, like a sequel? I mean, and that's without even getting into the mess of the removed content from Destiny 2. It's like, what's the point of calling it Destiny 2? At least, like, that's the... Like, imagine if Halo 6 was called Halo 6. Like, that's not going to help it. The Infinite at least made it seem like kind of a fresh start.
I'll be honest, what I think would work the best for Destiny wouldn't have been Destiny 2. They should have just called it Destiny Live or Destiny T, like Destiny, something that makes more sense for a long term game. Destiny Forever. Destiny 2 being there forever is so dumb, but they should have just stayed as Destiny. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I don't know, anything would have been better than Destiny 2. Or maybe
sequel,
instead of Destiny, they could have called
Destiny's Child.
They could have called the second game Fate or something that's like Destiny, but not the same word.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, so going back though to the whole like Halo thing for it, it's like, I feel like at their worst, you would hope DLC is coming soon for campaign update. Because, like, and you know it's not. Because you know that all they've been doing is trying to get co-op to work. And I'm sure that's been a huge pain in the butt. And I've liked the updates they've done. I'm sure we're going to get into that. But it's like that thing of, if you are not in love with the multiplayer, there is no sign that anything is going to fix it or revitalize that anytime soon. Like, when you're getting news stories that, like, the Halo dev team cannot fix melees, like, that's not a good sign. Like, when it's like, hey, what's wrong with Halo? The melee doesn't work.
Yeah. What happened to the team? Because, like, what are they working on? I feel like it's a pretty large team, like a couple hundred people. And it just seems like it's like independent team working on it right now.
A lot of contractors.
I'm just so confused.
I thought I saw something about the developers working on, like, they moved all the development team on something else.
I know.
No, they're all definitely still, yeah, but that's the other thing. Yeah, Certain Infinity is working on that rumored, like, it's official they're working on it, but they're working on, I forget the code name for it, but what's going to be the Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, Tatanka, something like that.
Yeah, Tatanka. So it's like, I think that's probably the closest chance the multiplayer has to a reboot, like a shot in the arm. But even Tatanka is not coming until next year at the earliest. Yeah. So it's like, I almost kind of wish, like, outside of a roadmap, because, like, it's funny, as much as people give, like, games crap for not, for launching with roadmaps, mm-hmm. I feel like Halo's had, like, the game launched early, and we're still, like, wondering where things are at. Like, you think, because it seemed like Halo Infinite was off to a perfect start, like, when the multiplayer launched in November, you know? Mm-hmm. It was, like, perfect. We're getting a head start. Campaign will get its own, spotlight in December. Nothing can go wrong. And then I think we were just telling ourselves that until February, and then we were like, whoa, Season 1's going to take a long time to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think this is almost, like, if you were to go on, if Halo had launched on Steam and it was an indie studio building it, we'd still be in the early alpha or whatever, the beta access, whatever that's called. And you'd be paying for an early access game. Now, what I will say is, this is something I agree with. I love Halo, but the fact they're having events at MCC and not Infinite is not a good sign.
Well, that team is freaking solid gold. Yeah, it's like three people or something, and they're just kicking ass, and they've been doing it for a couple of years now. I don't understand how they can be doing so well, and the Infinite team, which is, pardon the pun, but infinitely larger and has more money, is just sucking it up. I don't understand.
I'll also say it's a weird thing of why not both? Because, mm-hmm. like, even if you, like, it's not saying, like, you can't update MCC. MCC no. keeps getting really good and substantial updates, agreed. Which I like, but it's like, people in the comments when they announced that like event for MCC, they were like, you can't even give us like a gun charm. Like, we can't even get like something tiny for Infinite. Like, when Fall Guys has a better Halo crossover season than freaking Infinite, it's like, that's not a great look. And so the other one as well is trying to think of like the right way to phrase it. It's like, MCC, like, the worst drama that's been in recently is, like, they're looking into some microtransaction stuff for some things. But it's, like, even at that point, it's, like, MCC still has regained so much goodwill and good faith for the moment.
Yeah.
Because they've stuck with it for so long. But obviously, it's, like, after, which is crazy, because, like, MCC launched before Halo 5. But MCC has gotten way more updates, mostly due to the fact of how broken that game was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, I don't think we should just keep expecting these games to get better over time and then be really dry when they come out. Like, that's the weird part about it. Because I feel like, didn't Halo 5 like really only get like 2 years of updates and then they just kind of killed it off?
Yeah, because they had that roadmap and it basically was all the stuff that should have already been in the game at launch. But even Halo 5 did such a better job than Halo Infinite because, although, yeah, it was a lot of the stuff that we had in previous games at launch, at least like in 2 months we got Forge. In like the next couple months we got bunch of we had like Firefight, we had things like that actually coming to the game, and I don't know, they actually were updating it regularly.
Well, here, can we take a step back here and maybe let's think about this from the Halo's perspective. When before now is Halo ever open world?
I mean,
never really.
I mean, yeah. The closest one would be ODST probably.
So why would Halo go open world? What's the good reason for that?
because that's what it was originally designed to be.
I'm just saying, like, let's think about this rationally. Why would 343 build an open world game for Halo?
Because it's
to make it a live service and something to be updated quickly and regularly.
Yeah, you should be able to like update the islands, which is what I thought they were going to do. Like, you get like a new chunk of the ring every couple months.
Right, because the open world aspect doesn't affect multiplayer at all.
No.
Yeah, because
the ambition was for the campaign.
What wasn't the other big one? Probably we're talking about, like, where's all the bios? Like, why is it just green everywhere? Like, they'll clearly bring more places in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, okay, well, they're just going to bring it in a couple months and then nothing.
No, I think the whole reason for open world was specifically to build a battle royale. I think that was the complete reason.
They weren't built. They have not been building it. So there's a rumor is now a certain Affinity is building it as of like 2 months ago.
No, I think that all along the idea was to adapt the engine for a battle royale. And they just have not had the tools or the development space or time to do that yet because they were working on the
engine. If that was the goal, they failed miserably.
Why else do you need open world for Halo? It's never been needed previously. Why would you need it now?
Unless it gets fresher, because the last game was so narrow in scope. That's why. I mean,
what I'm wondering always about Halo is this of like, what will it hurt for them to just tell us, like, hey, this isn't working. This was our plan. Now we've got to do this. Like, say what you will about Anthem. At least they were upfront with us when things were burning around them. Like, we knew why updates were taking so long and never happened. So it's like, with Halo, it's like, if you don't tell your fans, they're just going to keep assuming, oh, the next season, they're going to have 3 hours of new campaign, new Spartan op missions, like 6 new maps. And it's like, because remember, what did season 2 launch with? 2 maps and 2 guns?
Yeah, very little, and like obviously some new armors, but I honestly think with the reboot that they were already rumored that Joseph Staten started, and then what was that guy that he took his job? I can't remember. It's Chris something.
Yeah, it was Chris. It was like a generic name.
He had been at, you know, at 343, and I think he might have been at Bungie even for a while. That guy has said nothing. And I'm curious if there was some kind of agreement where he left, but Joe Staten and like the company couldn't actually explain what happened.
Well, Halo 5 got remade in like the span of 12 months.
Yes, but I think that came from Microsoft. This doesn't seem like it did. Like, the rumors are saying it's like Joe started playing the game. It's like, this sucks.
Chris Lee, he's right. Yeah,
Chris
literally.
Lee,
yeah, that's what I was saying. It was a generic, like a very generic name. Which, by the way, I know another guy who has Chris Lee in his name. All right. Anyways, he's a very famous actor.
Speaking
he played
of that,
Count Dooku.
Joe Staten came in 2020, but there's a new guy now. Paul Bertone is back. He's one of the original Bungie guys. I believe he was a campaign lead for Halo 2.
Microsoft should have just bought Bungie instead of Sony, and then merged 343 and Bungie to make the ultimate Halo team.
Can I give a hot buying take? I actually, I would rather 343 be the ones making Halo now than Bungie, because the campaigns that Bungie makes now I find completely boring. Like, the fact that anyone has anything interesting ever to say. Like, I'll give Destiny this. They do interesting multiplayer stuff and multiplayer events and raid mechanics. I think Bungie hasn't made a good campaign in like 10 years.
Not since Halo, probably.
It's like the best moments of Destiny I feel like I've experienced 10 times over in even the most like generic Call of Duty campaign.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because I definitely liked the first Destiny game, well, even though it's like Lambasted.
It's a weird half and half of like, I'm not saying Destiny's bad. Mm-hmm. Destiny is multiplayer first, which is why it works so well as a live service, but it playing it by yourself, I get more fun. I have more fun playing Outriders. Outriders is better to play by yourself than Destiny.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
But again, that's what they're not trying. Like, they're not. Oh, yeah. The gunplay is awesome. The gunplay is great doing it. But it's like, it's that thing of fun to play by yourself versus what is like a good solo campaign or something that you can play by yourself. It's like, how many people do you hear outside of like Colin Moriarty every now and then, or like, oh, I play The Division 2 by myself? Nobody. Like, those are That's games true. That are meant to be played with a big group of friends.
So I will say another thing. I think EA had the worst tweet I've seen in a long time. They got ratioed hardcore. They said they're a 10, but they only play single player games. And I'm like, dude, so what's wrong with single player games?
I saw that, and I honestly did not think that that was that bad of a tweet. All it was actually kind of funny because it's like they're perfect, but they don't play games I can play with them. I thought that's how I took it. Like, you can't sit on the couch and play with
them. Will, I appreciate you being the voice of reason, because I was talking to someone else about this. Like, obviously, the internet being the internet, it's really easy to jump on the bad assuming. But, like, they're not saying what it means if they like single player.
That's like, a fair point. Thing,
it's like they're a 10, but they play – because, like, the whole point of that trend is you start with they're a 10, and then the person says what that means for them. So, like, if you're someone who loves single player, hey, she's a 10, but she only plays, like, 100-hour Dragon Age RPGs. Oh, she's a 12 then. Like, the whole point is, like, everyone answers their own, but, like, obviously, yeah. Bad place, bad time, but it is so funny how everyone just automatically assumed that meant a bad thing, where it's like, well, guys, like, okay, look
let's
at
just
EA.
Be fair. EA when was the last time EA built a good single-player game? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Been a couple. I would say
Fallen Order, that was, like, 2015.
Well, to be fair, well, that was definitely not 2015. That was literally like 2018. No, it was like 2018 or 2019.
It's been at least 4 years since they've had a good single-player game, in my opinion.
But then think about this. Like, they're very forward right now with Dead Space, which is a single-player-only next-gen thing.
That
like
will be a good game, I bet.
Yeah, like, they're definitely doing, like, Skate. Well, Skate's a different one. Like, Skate can be fun single-player or multiplayer, but it's like... Mm-hmm. EA is not being themselves in, like, the more traditional way. Like, if it was, like, 5 years ago, Anthem. Like, if that was a post-Anthem tweet, exactly. Yeah. It's like, who's playing this single player? So, I get that. But another one, Mass Effect Legendary Collection. That was, like, a 300-hour single-player-only game. Mm-hmm. So
it's a re-release. It's not really a re-release, but listen,
BioWare needs some kind of win, even though they didn't develop that remake. It is like BioWare needed something.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they've been on the bad end of things for a while now. You know,
speaking of Dead Space, I'm excited for the Calypso Protocol. It's by the original creator of Dead Space. It's essentially Dead Space.
Is that the one that Roanoke was consulting or whatever on?
I can't tell you that. I have no idea.
I don't remember.
It actually does sound familiar, but no, that was the one that Keeley. It was first at the State of Play they showed off, and then Keeley had like the unrated gameplay version at the Summer Game Fest. I will say, shout out to Calypso Protocol for having one of my favorite things of. It was started as a PUBG universe game, and then they were like, why are we doing this? Who's going to like buy it? Like, it's not even being sold as it's the PUBG Dead Space. It's like, just make it a horror game and people will want to play it. And like, absolutely no one cares that it is dead. Like, it is its own universe, but they'll still have some like Easter eggs to it because they have the same like publisher and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is just so funny to me that like, for 3 years of this game's development, they were like, PUBG. This is set in the PUBG universe.
So
like,
weird, yeah.
Okay. I mean, hey, man, do you.
I'm trying to... There was a Dead Space-style game that I remember that Roanoke was talking about forever ago. And
there's a lot right now.
It looks like that's probably not. Yeah. Shout out to him. That guy's pretty cool. All right. Let me get out of this. I got too many tabs open.
What's your opinion on them bringing back some old Bungie devs?
Oh, yeah. So which ones did they bring back?
So they obviously have Joe Staten. There's a guy from multiplayer. I can't remember his name. And there's Paul Bertone.
I got a question for you two, though. Do you feel like 343 has benefited? Because like, I feel like when we found out Joe was coming back, it was like, finally, he's going to save Halo. And it's been like, If he made it
What's
better,
his name?
Oh God,
Oliver what?
No, Paul what? Bertone. Paul.
Oh, Paul. I think he said Oliver Tone, and I'm like, who's that? Paul Bertone.
To your question, Spencer, I think it was literally in that bad of a state because there's been several articles. I think, what is that one guy who always has the really good gaming articles?
Jason Schreier.
There you go. Yeah. He had an article saying that basically Staten saved the game. It's like, it wouldn't even come out, probably.
Yeah, I can't find him at all. How do you spell his name?
Paul Bertone. Bertone.
That's why.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm still waiting on the How Bad Was Halo Infinite documentary we know we're going to get like 10 years from now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited for that because it'll finally elucidate what the hell they're doing right now.
Like, if they were just doing dev diaries now with that, I feel like even that would go a long way. Of just like, if you told people you had an office fire, people would be understanding of why you were being slow.
Oh, yeah, I do like, recognize right, them. You're right.
But right now, it's just the silence is so weird and, like, very, it comes off as tone deaf. Like, they don't care.
Well, I still know what they were going to say.
I think the problem was they overshared too much and overhyped the game before they launched it. If we were going to get the early access game.
The difference between pre-launch communication and post-launch is deafening. And, like, I obviously the world is in a crazy place. I do think you're not cynical or, like, some crazy conspiracy theorist if you think that team probably used a couple of real-world events as crutches a little too much. Like, the Ukraine war thing when we were, like, waiting for season two news. Mm-hmm. Was like, guys, we can't, like, we're just really depressed because of, like, the war going on right now. I'm like, I get it, but it's like, you're
go
not
to work. Like, it's like, it's I don't thing. Care. I had to go to work still. Like, shit.
I don't skip work. I don't get to
people.
Anyway.
People probably don't know this, but 343, you can still go to the office and work, but they are all still remote office if you want, which most of them are.
Well, that's part
to be
of the
fair.
Problem.
If you're given the choice to do remote office, like you're going to do that more often than not.
Yeah, I get the idea of choosing it if you have the choice, but that's got to be so hard for game development. How do you like have those like pizza, like organic pizza parties where you're like, you know, coming up with crazy ideas, you're writing them on the whiteboard, and then you actually design the game? Like all the freaking dev diaries for the old Bungie studio.
Honestly, there are some industries that remote work just don't work as well for.
I think something is creative, like with it, when you want immediate response to that, similarly with like, even though podcasts work really well to do remote and stuff, if you guys have ever done a live podcast, you can tell there is a difference to that energy.
Oh yeah. Like Will and I do want to do a few podcasts in the same room in the near future.
But you guys got to get, you guys got to get those divorce papers signed first.
Got something you want to tell us about, Spencer? My goodness. Hey, so you have played Halo CE, and you've played Halo 2 and Halo 3. And did you do ODST before or after 3?
No, 3. I'm still working my way through ODST, even though it's not very long. So right, I played everything.
ODST first or 3 first?
No, 3 first, and then I'm playing ODST now. And I've messed around a lot with Infinite Multiplayer.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So what is your impression of Bungie Halo?
Bungie Halo is interesting. It's like I had a similar thing, even though I grew up playing Half-Life. It is amazing how well it holds up and how you can see how much it influenced things in like so many ways. Like Halo 1 especially. I was like, wow, there's a lot of moments in this that are like weirdly still good to hold up, even like playing in the original graphic setting, the soundtrack, everything else, like how big some of the like maps are and everything for it. And then also there are other moments of just like, wow, why is the black button for this? What a weird button map. it showed its age in those like fun, weird ways and stuff. So it was a weird thing of like, I love going through them because like, honestly, to me, they feel like a time capsule.
Sure.
A time capsule of joy for Will. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to have you back on after you finish the 343 side of things. And see where your opinion lands on, because you don't have the Bungie nostalgia.
Yes. Yeah. I have heard I will probably like 4 more than most, because I think a lot of 4 negativity was definitely more in the moment. 5, I'll be curious, because 5 I've already decided I'm going to play with a group of people. So I won't do 5 solo. Yeah.
That's the way the game was meant to be played, which is funny because they eliminated couch co-ops. Like,
yeah,
here's
well,
the game
so
that's meant
stupid.
To be played co-op, yeah, but no couch co-op available. Mm-hmm.
I will say I played a lot of Halo 1 actually split screen. So that was funny. Like, I didn't do multiplayer until Halo 3. Like, I didn't do multiplayer co-op until then. So it was, it's weird that that's been lost. I will be curious. They haven't mentioned this in the test flight. I'll be curious if Infinite still sticks to its guns and lets you do local system split screen co-op.
They supposedly it's still coming, but it's going to come after network co-op or net co-op, whatever it's called.
I tend to agree with this. Like, the big boss focus of Halo Infinite to me is kind of strange, but Spencer, you wouldn't know about that necessarily. And here's another good point. Game companies are getting lazy. Kind of. I disagree overall with that tone. Lazy in some ways, but also early release everything. So, like, not only are we living in a time when devs, especially Atlas porting Persona 3 portable, anyways, devs getting kind of lazy and doing the easy thing, is also promoting more early access. So, like, instead of getting a game that should be done, we've gotten less and less game with every release every year.
I'm not going to lie. This is going to sound so terrible, and I'm going to get slapped for it, but remember when they just made, like, full games and there was crunch?
It's like, I mean, there's definitely, like, a nostalgia to it of, like, because those games are few and far between. Like, the only cases I can really think of a game coming out that probably did have crunch and didn't feel like it suffered from anything was, like, for me, two recent examples, Horizon 5. I mean, honestly, all the Horizon games. When those games come out, like, you're never like, come on, man, 10 more cars? Can you give me at least 10 more cars?
Yes.
Final Fantasy VII Remake was a big one, and where even though that was only, like, one part of that story, like, that felt like so much TLC was put into that over... Because, like, that was a tricky one. If that game had been delayed so many years that it's like, are you going to have a Final Fantasy 15 situation where it finally comes out, but people are, like, split on it? Of like, okay, clearly this was broken for 5 years of its development, and then you, like, duct taped it back together. So it's tough to say, because, yeah, there are definitely, like, moments, because, like, there's nothing worse than when you're playing a game and you can literally feel when the money ran out. Like, Metal Gear Solid 5 is a perfect example of that. Of when that game ends, you're like, really? That's the ending? I just play the opening again and you give me a different cutscene? Like, the moments like that, well, absolutely.
The earliest example I can think of where you can tell when the money ran out was Knights of the Old Republic 2. That's why there's the restored content mod with Steam.
So I was curious for you guys of, like, because, yeah, crunch is a big thing that comes up. It's weird. Because crunch is a big thing that comes up. I think it's just, there has to be a different way of looking at it. Because kind of like what we said before, of like, you don't want to use crunch as a crutch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of like, hey, come on, guys, you don't want to crunch it. But it's like, it is that thing of, like, at least how a lot of people in, like, game dev work. Like, here's a game that had a lot of crunch and it really showed for me in the better. Last of Us Part 2, there's no moment in that game where you're like, geez, Naughty Dog really took the lazy way out on it. Every level had someone's actual blood, sweat, and tears in it. It's just, like, got so much work in it, and so it's
one of those things. So you're saying love the game or hate the game, you can tell a lot of work went into it.
Yeah, like, even if you hate The Last of Us Part 2, you cannot deny that, man, there's a lot of game there. It's their longest mm-hmm. game, it's their best-looking game, it's their best-playing game. So it's one of those things where it's like, especially because, like, for me, I'm definitely someone who, when I work on something, I want to work as much as I can to make it as best as I can. Mm-hmm. And when I see, like, certain examples, like how Eidos Montreal had different aspects of, like, hey, we're doing 4-day work weeks. That's cool for me. Like, hey, if you want to do it, make it happen thing. But, like, there's a reason we went from the PS3 360 era of seeing these complete trilogies release in a matter of, like, 5 to 7 years mm-hmm. to now we're seeing 1-age console generation entries.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, I don't know how to separate the two. Crunch is bad. It's bad for the health of the employees, but there's also, like, a passion that goes along with that. Where, okay, you're passionate enough to do this type of thing.
I'm going to give a hot take on crunch. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Listen, in my field of work, which is engineering, every project that has ever been done goes through a period of time where you do the prep, and then as you're getting closer to the project, everything goes up, and then you get the natural crunch time right before the project's got to go, and then you get to kind of relax for a minute after the good project is done. If you don't experience the crunch, instead of going to that top climax and finally going downhill and your workload kind of slowing down for a little bit, if you never do that, you get stuck on that top plateau where you're like working really hard consistently for like an unending amount of time. So that crunch, in my opinion, is good because it gets you over the hump. And as long as your company is not killing you with crunch over crunch over crunch over crunch, eventually you slide down for a little bit.
I think also another one is like there needs to be a difference when saying crunch or overtime. Because like just because I'm if I'm working 70 hours and I want to be and they're still paying you, it's like, hey, you're just helping the end product. If we're forcing you to do 70 hours, that there is a difference. It's like
you're not
the difference.
Yeah, that's a good
like
point.
There's two levels of crunch that are really synonymous with Bethesda. Of Bethesda right now, I guarantee you is crunching on Starfield. 100% There's no way they are not. And at the same time, I bet you it is not as bad as what happened to Fallout 76, whereas we learned that was a situation of nobody wanted to make the fucking game. Like, actually, one of the best things that kind of came out of it was, like, one of the reasons Todd never even worked on 76 really in a creative thing is because he wanted to work on Starfield back then. He didn't want to work on 76. So it's like, when it's your passion project, working 70-hour workdays doesn't seem that bad. Like, if my full
70 hours is not possible in a workday.
That's true. But it's like, if we could do this full time every day and our minimum was 2 hours, I bet we would still have 4 hour show days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's probably true.
By the way, I was cleaning and look what I found.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will say that, Spencer. Like, you can plan for a 2 hour show and sometimes you do an hour and sometimes you do four. Just depends on how into it you are. You know, Will's always like, let's do one. And I'm always like, maybe we could do two.
I don't always say that. But when you're covered in poison sumac and we're taking Benadryls,
and you're like,
1 hour sounds better.
If I could get Will like passionately talking about something, that Benadryl would have no impact on him.
No, I took a lot, Chris.
Will, I'm gonna tell you right now, tonight we'll have a hard out at 45 minutes. So give me 7 more minutes of the show and we're hard out.
Okay, so Chris, when do you think we'll get a campaign DLC? And also, what do you think it's going to be? Do you think it's just going to be like
a little tiny update? Do you have a serious answer for this? Or no?
Yes, I do. I want a serious answer.
But I said, do you have one?
Do I have one?
Yes. Okay, my thought process here is campaign DLC might wind up being the initial launch of Forge mode.
Honestly, that feels like a bad time, though, because then it's like, then you're either going to have too many people playing the single player or not enough people playing the single player because they're all wanting to make and play custom maps. But like, that's something you do two releases of.
That's how you'll know that 343 has abandoned single player campaign DLC if they open it up to the community to build their own. You'll know then that they have given up.
Here's the source code, everybody. Have fun.
Here's the tools to build your own campaigns. Because that's what everybody wanted, but now everybody's like, well, but we want the professional one too. Like, we don't want 343 to just hand us the keys to the castle and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think could realistically happen.
You know, I wouldn't like that.
It's tough though, because I think like another one is like, I feel like with something like that world, it's not impossible. Like, look at something like Genshin Impact. Genshin Impact is a game that's mostly just a giant-ass Breath of the Wild, like, open world that's constantly getting updates all the time in a level that, like, no team, I don't think, could ever... Like, you know that team's crunching. You know the Genshin Impact... Because, like, if you guys have never played Genshin Impact... Look at the size of their world. Their worlds are enormous. And it's not like we added a new area. No. Mm-hmm. They added a new area that's still part of the open world. It's like, imagine if Fallout kept updating and went, no, you can walk to Philly now. You can just walk to Philly. No fast travel. You just go there. So it's like that, like, that's like, because it's on the level of, honestly, like, imagine if Breath of the Wild 2 is just more of the map from the first game in a level where it's like you forget the first game is there. Like, that's how big the map has gotten for that.
That's insane.
That would be awesome, though.
I think they could, like, there's two things that could happen. One, we find out that they've got, like, planned DLC consistently, and it was just that they had to rebuild the entire dev team around the new plan. And, you know, because they've cycled people in and out since they launched the game quite a bit. There's been a lot of turnover. What they need to do is get, like, a task force that's literally going after multiplayer, a task force specific for the campaign, and then, you know, the three guys doing MCC keep doing their thing because they're doing a really freaking good job. But I don't think they've done that yet. I think they've mostly been fixing the engine, fixing glitches, because it's a live service game. You can't keep glitches in the game, which is part of the nostalgia I have for Halo is the glitches. Like, it's like, why would you delete things that people enjoy? It's in single player campaign. Who cares if they break the game? Multiplayer, on the other hand, I can understand. Delete all the glitches because you're doing competitive. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Might be a hot take for me, but I don't
know. They actually restored some of the original glitches in the old games.
For MCC. I know. That was pretty cool. They did that.
MCC just kicks ass. Maybe they just promote those guys to Infinite.
they'll make Halo Zero.
Exactly. Hey, well, there is a rumor they might just reboot it.
Can we get the Halo Infinite team to just remake Halo? Can we get the MCC team to just remake Halo Infinite and put that in MCC?
Yes. Do it. Well, there is a rumor that they might, sorry, not to get off, but there's a rumor that they might sort of like soft reboot the game or relaunch the game where it'll launch with new content and it'll just be like the second opening or whatever.
It's free to play, so like there's nothing stopping them to do that for sure. It's like,
well, that campaign's not.
Well, yeah, but it's like at the same time, like it's still included in games. It's the thing of like, I think Halo's campaign was and still is the best part of Halo Infinite as a package, but the part that most people experience and why it's the most vocal is that multiplayer. So because you're having the most people jump into it, when it's updated so slowly, like you have something like Apex, you have something like Warzone, you have something like Fortnite, you see how fast those get updated all the time. And it's like, if you were Ubisoft even, Ubisoft's like updating their stuff slowly, it's because we all know nobody's playing it. That's fine. But like, this is Microsoft. It's like you have or had millions of people playing Halo Infinite. Why did you drop the ball? And because like it's easy to get that first free to play download. It's hard to get them to stick. Like if you make them lose interest, like you better have that like second relaunch be really really convincing.
I will say that they have maintained about 5,000 players consistently over the course of time, even after they've disappointed everybody. So there is still a core multiplayer fan base that exists. This is just Steam. I'm just saying, like, this is the Steam charts, which is pretty indicative of the whole market in general. But their high on Steam was 250,000 players. So clearly there was hype at launch of Halo.
Yes.
There was some.
I don't think this is a hot take. I feel like there is still hype for Halo. It's just there the is. Fact that I think like if we didn't care about Halo, we wouldn't be here. And it's just that weird thing of like, it seems so easy for us to just seem like entitled, like people asking for more content, but it's like, it's not like we're not saying here, we won't pay for stuff or we don't want stuff or we want all this given to us on a thing, like on a silver platter. But it is also the same point, like that kind of question you have to ask yourself of like, what is happening here? Like, because it's like you look at so many other developers and stuff, and it's like, why is everyone doing this like better than who should be the flat? Because like really, out of like what we've had in the past of like first party developers from Microsoft, I feel like almost every other first party team from Microsoft has done better than 343.
So here's my hot take. I am willing to bet money that if the Master Chief was not synonymous with Xbox, we may have never gotten Halo Infinite after Halo.
100%. 100. I mean, look at Phantom Dust. That could have been a great game, but it's like, fucking, it's Phantom Dust. Who's going to bet money on that?
Like, if Master Chief did not have the full force of the Xbox fan base and the fact that it is literally Xbox's mascot, there's no way that Halo would still be pumping on all fronts right now.
which is depressing because like you don't want that. You don't want that to be, hey, why is Master Chief still relevant? Because he's marketable. You want it to be because he's got great games.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that's sad is the core of what's there for Halo Infinite is actually good.
It is so good. That's also so frustrating. The game just sucked. I wouldn't care, but oh my gosh, it is really good.
It's probably the best feeling game to play with a controller since Halo 3, probably, or Reach. If you like Reach, then Reach or Halo 3. For me, mm-hmm. since 3, this is the best feeling game. Right. This is exactly what I'm saying. Phil Spencer literally said, if Halo Infinite does bad, it's not the end of the franchise. That's because it is literally, you can't kill the Master Chief off.
You know what's a Microsoft franchise we can kill, even though it is coming back? But a great example of something similar to its position in the industry, Fable. Easy to kill off. Microsoft didn't even think about killing it. Fable Legends, kill it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, just put this in perspective, guys, because I know this feels like a long time ago. Microsoft canceled Fable Legends 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that long ago.
I have been waiting for a new Fable game for like 11 years since Fable 3.
You might have to wait a little bit longer.
Oh, I know. It's killing me.
Well, they've been working on it. The inception of the new Fable game was like 4 years. And honestly, here's what I think happened. I think Playground Games was probably sitting there like, maybe we could do something different. Like, we've been doing racing games this whole time. Maybe we could try something else. And Xbox is like, well, there's a little bit of a renewed interest in Fable. You want to try that? And they're like, yes. And so they started.
I'm going to say there probably wasn't a renewed interest in Fable. They were probably like, okay, we have a lot of studios, but we don't have a lot of IP. What should we do?
Okay. Either way, I like my version of the story better, but yes. Either way.
Because, like, let's be real. If, like, Phil really wanted let's pull a studio who's desperate for cash and will get a pop, you know what would have popped more? Even though I love Hideo Kojima, you know what would have been a way better. Here's a Japanese dev studio, like, final game show. Bring out fucking Platinum Games and say, you know what? Fuck it. Scale bound. Yes. For real this time. Yes. That's a move that would make people be like, holy shit. Because that's something that's like, listen, they Platinum Games even admitted they were doing a bad job. Microsoft is doing a bad job. They are both very different companies now, and mm-hmm. God knows after Babylon's Fall, Platinum Games needs as much fucking work as they can get.
How bad did that do?
Oh, terrible. It's like one of their worst games of all time.
Oh. Well, they're still doing I can't think of the name. The franchise on Nintendo.
Nier.
No, Bayonetta 3.
True, but let's be honest. Bayonetta 3 has been a contract they've been trying to finish for 6 years. So after Bayonetta 3, Bayonetta 3 better sell well. Because remember, Bayonetta 1 has never sold well. Bayonetta 2 has never sold well, except counting like ports and PC. Like PC and Switch were the only platforms that Bayonetta has ever done good on, and that's with a really big asterisk of hey, way it's after
sold out on the Wii U.
Yeah, exactly. So, like this is how you know Nintendo was desperate to make Bayonetta a household name. They gave away the first game physically. They're yes. like, Nintendo never does that unless it's Star Fox Guard. But, like, they already knew they had to turn it on. By the way, Platinum Games again. So it's like that thing of, like, Platinum Games, if Bayonetta 3 doesn't do well, I could easily see, like, disappearing. Because it's like, unless they get a Hail Mary, like a Scalebound revival from Microsoft, mm-hmm. or a Metal Gear Revengeance 2, it's like, yeah, they've had so many duds recently. And it sucks, because like I love Platinum. And when they hit at their best, they are one of the best studios out there. But they, man, if you give them like a budget or any kind of like rush or anything else, they can release some of the most mediocre trash out there.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so here's my next hot take. I still think that Xbox's show would have been even more hilarious and amazing if at the end of the Persona reveals, they're like, y'all just played SMT 5, but here's SMT 9. We got here from the future.
I guarantee you at some point, Phil's going to find a way to release them. I don't know how.
Can you imagine?
But it's like that's – because remember when they announced – I think it was when they announced or when they canceled Phantom Dust. Remember they released that for free on Xbox One? That was like the first original Xbox game you can play on it. So it's like, I believe them being crazy enough to do it. But that's also another one of like literally like it's going to sell 5 copies and like no one will care.
Mm-hmm. Just for the bragging rights of Nintendo's at 5 and we're at 9, just to be stupid, like the troll of it. Even though 9 is not actually like, you know, sequentially the 9th game in the series, like they would probably hype it up that way just to be funny.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, this is a company who was insane enough to say, "Hey Sega, you know that MMO that you will never bring out in America? We're going to publish it for you and pay for all of it."
You're talking about, which one is it?
Phantasy Star Online 2.
Phantasy Star Online 2, that's right.
They paid for exclusivity for that for 2 years. That's just insane, now man. Coming out in the West on PS4. So it's like, it's absolutely crazy.
All right. So how do we save Halo at this point? Will, you're the brain of this operation.
Yeah, okay.
You're Phil Spencer.
You're the will to live.
What are you saying to 343 right now?
Get your shit together. So other than just not necessarily cleaning house, but taking out all the upper management and just starting over from there, I would say it's tough because Bonnie Ross also saved Halo from getting sold to Gearbox and not being an Xbox exclusive anymore.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so that is a thing.
You need to tell the story now.
I mean, that's basically it. There's an IGN interview on it, and it's really good. It's very eye-opening. I have to respect her simply for that. They're about to sell the IP.
When was this?
Before they made Halo 4. So it was when
Bungie left. They had the IP, uh-huh. And they weren't sure what to do with it.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of it, yeah.
And it went multi-platform?
Mm-hmm.
Well, From the makers of Borderlands comes, yes, Halo 4.
That would have been weird.
That, like, apparently they're like in final talks with Gearbox to give it to them, and yeah, I can't imagine that world.
Was it anyway. Randy Pitchford was like just said the wrong thing to Phil Spencer? He said never mind.
No, I think
you Bonnie, know what? Backsies.
Bonnie Ross literally sat down and said like, "No, we have to keep this. We have to keep
that." That might be a hot take. I would actually love to see a Gearbox developed Halo game, because I think they could do. I actually do think they would do a good
don't
job.
Don't we technically
it.
Have that? It's the
PC version.
Yeah.
It's actually the version that's in MCC, and they had to fix it because they broke so many textures. I
mean, technically, not the same version anymore because they fixed it. But yeah,
no, that's the base version of what they use in MCC.
Mm-hmm. What was the original question? Oh, what would I do?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I think honestly, other than starting this a couple years ago, hiring back the old Bungie devs. And getting that core team back together, because they knew the Halo format. They figured it out. Their brains together were able to turn out hit after hit. And ever since then, none of them have done anything particularly exciting past Halo.
Yeah.
And the new people working on Halo have not made an exciting Halo game. So like, I want to recreate that magic. And no, it won't ever reach the heights again, but I do want a complete package. I want a game that's finished and actually like, I can jump into the multiplayer and have a good time. I can jump into the campaign and have a good time. And yeah, it's just sad. And also like, go on.
I was going to say, hey, just saying that Borderlands 3 and that Wonderlands game, both of those launched. No one was complaining about how long those games were. Those are complete.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it's like, if you think about the old Halo games, they all experienced crazy crunch. They cut out huge chunks of those games because they're overly ambitious, and yet they still are awesome. So even if they did reboot Halo Infinite and cut out a bunch of stuff, which I think is what happened, they're still able to recover on those other games. Why can't they recover on this one?
You know, here's something that I would suggest. If you want to create a short but extremely fun and meaningful DLC for Halo, this would work. But they should have you play as what's that guy's name that you're with the chief the whole time?
Oh, the guy with the family?
Yeah, the guy with the family.
Brohammer.
Brohammer, yeah. Just have Brohammer be the character for a solid, I don't know, 3-4 hour campaign prior to him finding the chief. And prior to him being in space. Because I'm pretty sure he probably was fighting on the ring for a minute.
Yeah, he's fighting somewhere. Or he's on a ship. It doesn't matter. That would be kind of fun.
Literally just release prologue DLC.
Yeah, well, they have the prologue DLC that everyone wanted to fight Atriox right in the very beginning. That cool cutscene. I mean, yeah, release that now.
Yeah, you could do that, but I think Brohammer is more meaningful, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it would have fleshed out his character a little bit. I mean, I think they did, honestly, a pretty good job with that character. But seeing more of his backstory, seeing the struggle, that'd be cool.
Like, you open up with him leaving Earth or wherever his family is supposed to be, and that's like a flashback, and then it's him landing on the ring and then fighting, and then all hope is lost, and then, boom, Halo Infinite campaign starts. Okay. That would be a great DLC. 343 would not have to write too much because the
character already exists. I mean, he wasn't a pilot, so he stole that ship.
That's what I'm saying. Like, landing on the ring is a whole part. Getting back off the ring, finding, because you find the ship, get off the ring, boom.
What if you see him shooting other soldiers? That would be cool.
I mean, I don't think he's gonna, I don't think you want to kill other soldiers.
It would make a unique twist. Definitely would cast that character in their light.
Definitely would. It would make him more gray. That's for sure. But I do think Brohammer Prologue DLC would make the most sense. Release it now, as soon as you can, 343. And I think people would be excited to play that.
Yeah. I mean, people would be excited to play anything at this point. Everyone hated Locke in the last game. They would be happy with Locke DLC.
I was literally just about to be like, if we want to talk about get something out as quickly as possible, this was the question I kept having pop up from people who were playing like Infinite. We're like, where are the other characters? Where did Locke go? Where did everyone, where did all of these other people go? Did they just disappear? They're like, no, you just get audio logs.
Well, there's concept art of Locke. Yeah, there's concept art of Locke without his Spartan armor because he gets captured in the campaign. And there's these two bosses that you fight, and one has Locke's helmet.
Hold on. I'm okay if you want to spoil me or spoiler warning if anyone here hasn't played Infinite. Oh, sorry. Is he literally not even in the game?
No.
So he's because I knew he was captured. I figured at least he was in a cutscene. That's like some actual insultingly left on the cutting room floor.
It's clear that he was meant to be there, and it's clear that they will probably release that at some point. But oh my gosh, it's so frustrating.
Are either of you two Resident Evil fans?
Nope.
Not really.
So, have you guys at least, are you aware of who Ada is from Resident Evil 2 and 4?
Mm-hmm.
So, in Resident Evil 8, it's a great game. It's a complete game. It was awesome, but it was one of those funny things of, similar to when you found out what you could have had, you were like, oh, come on. We found out, they're like, oh yeah, we had a whole part of the story with Ada was going to be secretly assisting you, and you were going to be able to play as her, and here's this completed concept art and character model. But we removed her from the entire game, and now that the DLC's out, people are like, do we finally get to play as Ada? No, she's still not there. I'm like, come on. Like, how do you do so much work on a character to then just be like, you know what, guys? Not this time. Let's just leave them.
So this would be just as bad as them killing off the Didact in Halo. This is a spoiler for anybody who hasn't played Halo 4. Sorry. But the main bad guy of Halo 4, the Didact, gets killed off in a comic strip in between Halo 4 and Halo 5. And literally, nobody ever reads these comics.
Unless you're a super Halo fan. Wasn't there also another, wasn't there another major story thing they added to Halo 2 Anniversary Edition? That was a motion comic, basically.
I don't know about that, but they definitely added another cutscene where it was supposed to tie into Halo 5, and they basically just abandoned that storyline.
Yes! No, it was that. It was that. Yeah. Because there was a lot. Literally, because when I was playing through Halo 2 Anniversary, I had to stop and message my friend. I was like, all of these don't make sense. All the codexes, what the hell are any of these talking about? Who were the Prometheans? Because Halo 4 had a little bit of that, but it didn't. It still felt like it was adding lore to Halo. Whereas the stuff in Halo 2 was what is this even talking about?
Yeah, no. What sucks about Halo 5 is I think it was what happened to Halo Infinite too. I think Chris already said this, but they completely reworked that game, and the storyline makes absolutely no sense.
The story, honestly, from everything I've heard, it is genuinely depressing how much Halo 5 changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it was always that thing of, why did they, they're willing to fix Halo Infinite. Why did Halo 5 not ever get, hey, let's make the story good update?
Honestly, here's the thing about Halo 5. There have been leaks that have been all snuffed out from Microsoft, so I'm not exactly sure what's true and what's not. But it pretty much came out after, like, really shortly after the release, that whatever game was coming out was completely redone shortly before Halo 5 came out.
And the 1 year in, yeah.
Are you Are you telling me there's not a moment in Halo 5 where he, Master Chief himself, is in a desert in full armor and then also wearing a poncho for no reason at all?
Nope. Totally unexplained.
Only say this, that trailer, I swear to God, I feel like there was no more iconic Halo 5 trailer than that. Because I think, like, that trailer was, like, such a, whoa, Halo's back.
Which, yeah, well, even, like, that War Sphinx that's in it is not in the freaking game. And it's just, oh, my gosh, it's so frustrating.
But then the other one, I will say this. They were absolutely in the wrong for how much they advertised Locke versus Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that, like, that being dropped, and it wasn't like they advertised, be like, you know what, guys, we're going in a different direction. It'd be like, imagine if, like, sorry to bring back to Resident Evil, but, like, Resident Evil 3, the whole thing is Nemesis, it's hunting you. And then just imagine, no, he's just in the background. Like, Nemesis is doing his own thing, but he's coming for you, but you're not going to see him ever.
No, more like they hyped this up for, like, years, and then all of a sudden it comes down to a cutscene fist fight between Locke and the Chief, and you're like, WTF, this is it?
Well, originally it was supposed to be, you remember how in Star Fox 64 there's two paths and you can do different planets?
Yeah.
So originally you're supposed to have a Locke campaign and a Master Chief campaign, and, like, their stories will intertwine at the end. And so you really are hunting Master Chief on one end, and the other one is, like, you're trying to figure out what Master Chief's actually doing on the other. And then at the end, you realize, oh, there's actually this story, and Master Chief didn't really go AWOL. He didn't actually kill these ambassadors during the Hunt of Truth episode. And then at the very, like, literally within a year, they scrapped that completely. So they cut out Master Chief's complete story arc, and there's only three missions with him.
So I want to take a break from the Hunt the Truth and just discuss this, because this is probably a good segment to end on. Why has the game gotten more antisocial since 343 Industries took over? There's literally no social features anymore. No way to discover new friends or even play with old friends.
Incompetency.
And hold on, I want to stop right there. Across the entire industry of gaming, how many games are actually more social than they were on the 360 or the PS3? Like, I really feel like as a industry-wide movement, the social aspects of most games have died because of what was viewed as very toxic back in the day, the toxic chat of Xbox Live, Call of Duty, or any of those things. I feel like they've pretty much done everything they can to stifle that.
Well, yeah, there's no, like, chat rooms anymore. Not chat rooms, but, like, you remember how, like, when the game was booting up for the old Halo games, you could, like, talk shit to people before the game?
Yeah, the lobbies.
Yeah, the lobbies. And you could talk shit with your teammates the entire game. Now it's like, first of all, no one ever has a microphone, so you never get to talk to anyone. But there is no, that, like, pre-waiting lobby where you could, like, talk crap to the team. And also, if you say anything that's even remotely deemed anything, you get banned.
That's exactly it. So, like, if the punishment is so high, then you don't want to lose your players. So if the punishment is high for the minimal amount of things, you're going to limit the interaction between players as much as possible, so you don't have to punish your players.
What is Valorant, right, that's going to start listening to everyone's chat so they can actually learn better, like, the swear words that people are using in real time? Look this up. This is a real thing.
What? Hold on. Repeat that?
Yeah, so they're going to listen in real time.
Remember, Sony's doing the same thing. There's a lot of, like, companies that do this, of like, hey, we can listen to anything you talk through voice chat with us. So Sony does this, Valorant does this. I'm pretty sure Activision does this as well.
Oh, Microsoft bought a company that literally does this as a profession. Did you know that?
Yeah, so it's
I did a video on this, guys. I'm going to plug my Newsworm segment. I actually talked about this forever ago.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's weird, but then also at the same time, like, in my brain, I'm like, kind of so used to it. Like, honestly, like, our information is being sold and tracked and everything all the time. Like, I'm just kind of desensitized to it because I'm aware no one actually cares what I'm doing. Like, no one rightfully cares what I'm doing because I'm of no one of any importance, which most of us are. That's why it's always, like, so funny. Like, you see, like, those, like, conspiracy theory channels and stuff. Be like, I promise you, dude. Like, no one at all outside of our, like, subscriber base, like, cares that much of what we are doing right now with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair point. I'm trying to find the company that Microsoft bought that actually does exactly what Will's saying. It's one
just
of the
say episodes. Bing. Let's go, Daddy.
Yes, Bing. Yeah, let's check out Bing. All right, let me see if I can find it real quick. But it was a Microsoft acquisition.
DuckDuckGo.
It's a race against the UI to try and track down any remote way to send a message. That's true. It's like buried in the. It's completely buried. Trying to send messages. Like I've tried to send Will messages on Xbox before, or invite him to games. Look at how much of a struggle it was to get Sea of Thieves going.
I will say that it's much easier in the Series X than it was on, at least when the Xbox One launched. Holy crap. I could not figure out how to invite people to a Halo. Oh my gosh, it was impossible. I never played with anybody.
I have a weird question for you two filthy Xbox One peasants over here. Does the lack of an updated or exclusive UI to the Xbox One seem weird to you guys, or like, are you just
no?
So
Microsoft
used to
doesn't want to do that at all anymore.
It's just so weird because, like, for me, like, I had to boot up a PS. I had to boot up a PS4 recently, and like touching a PS4 after owning a PS5 is the weirdest thing. It's like eating a hamburger. It's like eating a hamburger with two like knives. It's like I could do it, but like I'm not.
Here it is.
Used
I found the video, guys. Here it is. Let me pull it up.
I so, like to have a unified UI. It was bad. Really the, easy transition.
The unified UI is nice, but I think the problem was why not have a unified update at that console launch? Because you know where? Because like, what did the Xbox One get? Like four different UI revisions. Like we used to get them a lot more regularly. Mm-hmm. Because remember, the constant complaint was Xbox had two good UI designs. The Blades, the first update with
Avatars. Oh, I love Blades. That was such a much nicer UI. And it didn't have advertisements all over it.
And then everything else was worse. Because what was the one where they added Avatars? Like, that one was fine, like, with the blocks and stuff. Like, the blocks were okay. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those funny things of, like, constantly. And I feel like it's just until now, they finally lost it. Of like having like a usable UI, because I remember like how bad it was in the late 360 era of just like you couldn't find it. There were more advertisements than there were video games.
Mm-hmm.
We have in the chat on our Twitch stream.
Yep.
Oh, I
want to become
famous. Oh, I see. I like the one with the people just make it feel like they're offering like sexual services, like on
no,
YouTube.
Thankfully, we don't have that problem.
Exactly. How will that work?
You got to fly me over, buy that $500 plane ticket.
Exactly. Geez. So it's just like such a funny thing of like one thing that like came up a lot, and I mean like I think kind of rightfully so of just people being like, yeah. The Series X and S launched, and nothing is different with their UI.
Yeah,
and it is a thing of like when you buy a $500 or if you're stupid in my case $900 system, if you buy a like a horrifyingly expensive system, it is kind of like thankfully I hadn't had an Xbox One in like 5 years anyway, so it helped. But like for people who were part of that ecosystem, like when you guys get your Series X, you'll just go. Huh, it's faster.
Well, to be fair, they actually launched the Xbox Series S and X UI system like a month before that launch. So that was like a preview into the new system. So that's why it's unified at launch.
That is true. Right before it launched, they converged all the UI together. But the Xbox 360 still got an old UI, but the one and the Series X.
Have you guys logged into a 360 store? So they still update all those stores and stuff, and it's so funny. Like if you log into a PS3 store or a 360 store, they're nothing anymore except ways to re-download your old stuff, buy Black Ops 2 maybe, and then it's just a giant ad saying, why don't you have the new thing?
No, my PS3, you can still buy almost everything in the PS3 store. You just can't load cash into the store at all. So like,
no, they all still work, but it is like because they replace all the advertisements because no one's buying ad space for 360 or PS3 stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's just so funny to me that it's like, yeah, these things just exist now as just giant husk to just say, hey, it'd be great if you had an Xbox One at least, maybe a Series S or something like that. So it's like. Kind of funny because, like, remember, there are still games that Microsoft and Xbox and all of them, like, that are only on 360. Like, there are certain, like, games and DLC that you can only get on
Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. You have to go into the 360 store, buy them, but they are forward compatible with the Xbox One and Xbox Series X. So if you want to play Left 4 Dead, you cannot get it on a new console. You have to buy it on an old console and then port it forward for yourself.
So you guys know why that's the case with Left 4 Dead, right?
No, I don't actually.
Who was the publisher of Left 4 Dead?
Valve?
No, they were only the publisher on PC. For consoles, all their stuff was EA. So
really?
They would have to start up a deal again with EA to get you to buy it that way.
Oh, it's, wow, okay.
Valve only ever self-published on consoles. Orange Box was also EA. I think Valve also did Portal 2. I might be wrong about that, but I know Left 4 Dead 1 and Left 4 Dead 2 are EA published console games. So that's was why that was like a licensing kerfuffle there.
Okay, the weirdest thing locked to the 360 and the 360 only that does port forward is both the prologue and epilogue to Dead Rising 2.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say 50 Cent Blood in the Sand.
I mean, that too. But the Dead Rising 2, Case Zero, and Case West are both locked to the 360. Although they will play on the Series X and the Xbox One, you cannot purchase them on there. And that's because Capcom, I think, has no plans to ever renegotiate that deal with Xbox at all.
Probably not. Nope.
Well, what's funny about that is, like, that's one of the weirdest things of, like, I cannot believe that those are still 360 exclusives.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because it never even made it to Steam.
Oh, here's another weird one. Check this out. So they just added this recently to Game Pass, the Ninja Gaiden Master Collection. So it's Ninja Gaiden Sigma 1, 2, and 3 Razor's Edge. But if you remember, you can still play via backwards compatibility Ninja Gaiden Black on Xbox and Ninja Gaiden 2, the original 360 versions, with way more blood and usually has better performance, even by comparison to the Master Collection. They added the Master Collection to 360 finally on Game Pass, but it's like more people are like, no, dude, like, we'd rather just buy the 360 and Xbox One version because those run better. And it's like so funny of like, what a weird situation to be in, because like that was part of the reason why that collection was PS4 and Switch only, because it was like, yeah, 360 players just want to play the original. Like they're not gonna touch it anyway. So there's no point to any of it. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I don't want to have this go on too long. So I got one more question for you guys.
Okay.
Whenever you bring up Halo to your friends, excluding me and Will and Spencer, you know, talking to each other, what kind of responses do you get? Because I can tell you the response I got was, there's more Halos after 3, and I can't believe they're still making that series. It should have ended at 3. Those are the two responses I've gotten.
Generally, I just get like, oh, I played on the 360, but I bought a PS4, and I've never looked back. That's usually what I get. Not that they know there's other Halos, and it's not that they don't want to play them. It's just they switched to PS4, and now they're PlayStation people.
I might be the less depressing answer. Jeez. So my friend group, which is funny because they're probably younger than you guys. My friend group, like whenever we mention Halo, we still think of Halo in a positive sense. And the most sort of like a very common one, because as I was getting into Halo, I didn't think, and people might like be like, I don't know how you didn't think this was a thing, Spencer. I didn't ever see Halo memes. Man, there are some great Halo memes out there.
I gotta give a shout out to one of the best memesters on the internet, Slipspace Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You gotta check this guy out for some of the best Halo memes ever. He's got some of the best stuff on the internet, and he continues going despite the copyright hits he keeps getting hit with for his hilarious memes.
God bless. But yeah, so it's that thing of like, we will still, like, my friend, I have like a friend group that'll just every now and then, and this is like an open invite always, because it's like it's one of the few Xbox games I have that I can just jump into. Shout outs to Quick Play or Quick Resume, whatever they have.
Quick Resume, oh my gosh.
So like the fact that I can literally like, oh, I have Shredder's Revenge on my Xbox. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to do some maps on Halo? Whoop, go back and then go forth and not have to lose anything. So mm-hmm. like that's really nice. I'm like constantly I have MCC up and I have Halo Infinite, and I can just bop back and forth without losing place with any of them. So, like, that's something that's really, really nice. So it's like, because Halo Infinite's on everything, well, Xbox and PC, everything for free, it's nice to just be like, hey, do you want to play? Because there's literally, outside of can your hard drive afford it, there's nothing holding you back from playing.
Right, yeah. The hard drive should have been 2 terabytes plus on these brand new consoles.
I mean, if you're saying that compared to Xbox, yeah, just imagine what the PlayStation 5 consumer life is like.
But yeah, it's less. It's even less, right? It's like you got maybe 600 usable.
It's 830 because they at least did that thing of it's basically a terabyte, but they took out all the system required stuff from it. And then we're like, okay, so you're really only getting like 800, but then after updates and stuff, yeah, it's like closer to 650 now.
Yeah, and I have a similar experience to this person. Other than Will, a lot of my friends stopped playing Halo as soon as Reach came out. Like, I had a few friends that were really interested, really into Reach, but like 3 was like the hype train to be a part of.
I don't understand why Reach gets hated on so much.
I think
a lot of my friends just aged out.
No, I don't think it's that. Honestly, I think part of it being a prequel is really hard to keep attention, like more than people think. Like when it's just, yeah, but I already know what happens. Even in the situation where Reach, it's not like you knew what was going to happen, but it is that thing of like when you have a prequel, it's like Rogue One. I love Star Wars Rogue One. We all know they get the Death Star plan, though. So that suspense is just gone. So it's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Like. Mm-hmm. So it's that thing of, like, I understand why that one kind of lost its feel, but I think that's almost what makes it so tragic, though, because of how well-regarded Halo Reach. It's like, if Halo Reach was mid, it'd be like another Gears of War Judgment. No one cares about Gears of War Judgment. Sorry, Gears of War Judgment.
The game sucks.
But it's that thing of, like, it's a prequel. It's like, yeah, it could be great, but it's also still a prequel at the end of the day. So it's like honestly, like, even in a crazy, like, let's go Marvel scenario. If Amazing Spider-Man 3 gets announced this week and it's coming out and it's a prequel to Andrew Garfield being in the Far
No Way Home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, No Way Home. People would immediately be like, I don't really care.
That's true. If it's not, they're not any storyline, even if it's like the best one in the series, people are less likely to jump in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
I think that's why you have to almost like why we see more reboot like sequels like a Force Awakens or a God of War in a Halo Infinite like that, where it's like Halo Infinite creatively wasn't bankrupt, but clearly got to a point where they're like, we've got to just press the restart button on this thing. Cause whatever fans of Halo existed after Halo 5, none of them were championing the story. No one was like, oh, please Chief, tell me what happened to the computer lady. They're like, no.
That's the biggest issue I have with 343's direction. Unlike Bungie, who refused to pivot when the fans didn't like something, other than removing Arby as a co-op.
I was going to say, yeah, they definitely pivoted on that.
But they kept him in the story. He didn't go anywhere. The story continued on the way it was meant
to. Listen, Keith David is very expensive.
The fact of the matter is, 343 had a great storyline with the Didact. They kind of fumbled a little bit at 4. But if they would have kept going with the Didact story and just fixed the things that were broken and then continued on again, like just continued a contiguous story that makes sense and has some canonical timeline to follow. But instead, you've got 3 games that, other than the fact that they're all Halo, could be entirely different series if you just played them all separately. Like, if I played Halo 4, gave it a year, played Halo 5, gave it a year, played Halo Infinite. Other than the Chief being in all 3 games, they don't feel the same. Story writing has changed. Like I like the storyline of Halo 4, but going from 4 to 5, I don't even feel like there's a connection between the writing.
Mm-mm. No, when they kill off the last loose end from that story, which was the whatever the Covenant leader was in that game. Which isn't even mentioned in the campaign. It's only in Spartan Ops. That was another reason that game was so terrible. Is that Spartan Ops actually had some good story beats and had some really good campaign missions, but it wasn't part of the main campaign. It was buried within all this other crap and boredom.
Like, somebody really at 343 should have been like, all right, we understand you guys didn't necessarily like the Didact, but we're committed to telling this story. And well, I would have respected that a lot more.
Here's it. The guy who wrote Spartanhouse.
It's literally just like the Force Awakens sequel trilogy thing of like, say what you will, if you love Last Jedi, you hate Last Jedi, you think Force Awakens or Rise of Skywalker is the best or worst movie of all time, everyone in that entire Star Wars franchise, we would have appreciated anyone's final movie if they had at least stuck with the plan. It clearly was just like, okay, you don't like that? Okay, we'll do this. Oh, you don't like that? All right, we'll do this. It was like, if you don't believe in your story, why should we keep showing up to it?
Yes. And why are you telling it to begin with?
Yeah. That was my main complaint with 343 isn't that they've made bad games. You could argue that some aspects of the games are very bad, like the co-op missing from Halo 5. Although Halo 5 turned out to be a decent game by the end of it. Halo 4 had a pretty decent story, despite me hating the enemy types. Mm-hmm. And then like Halo Infinite, the core game is amazing, and they haven't built anything on top of it.
Yeah, well, everything they have in Halo Infinite right now, in my opinion, is great. But they need to add more to it. It's just, yeah.
So
I think in the, again, this could be like its own topic another time. But like, I think it's really easy to dog on 343, but also at the same time, there are also like things that I don't think ever get brought up enough, and not really for any reason. Like 343 makes really pretty games. Like
yeah, they look good.
They have the fact that an Xbox One does not light a house on fire for playing Halo Infinite should be an actual, like, they should get like an award for that. Like, the Jeff Keighley should say thanks for not burning down our houses with Xbox One, because it's like, when we saw this Series X footage, it was like, no way. Like, we just kept being like, there's literally no way the Xbox One will run this, and somehow they are still, like, they're sticking with it. Like, is it, really, at any point, would any of us have been that shocked that they were like, okay, it's Xbox One X and Series X only? Like, we were all just ready for that second ball to drop. Because it's like, yeah, that's like, if they were still supporting 360 versions. Like, you know what, guys? Halo 5 should be on 360.
Yeah. So I think Spencer, to be continued, I think when you finish all of the games, we should do a...
Yes.
Bungie versus 343 podcast, and just discuss us being on the nostalgia side, from you being on the recently played side, and just see where we land. Was Bungie really that good, or is that mostly nostalgia?
I will give some points for 343 in that discussion, to be continued.
And I would love to have your thoughts when you finish the series, Spencer. I know it's not like the longest campaigns ever, but it should.
Hey, let me tell you, after playing nothing but probably 300 hours of JRPGs, I will be very ready to play some shooters. So that will definitely, my plan is to have it to at least be up to Infinite by the time co-op is out. By the way, I'm curious, do you guys, like, how long is the test flight process normally for features? Like, do we think this is going to be something that's going to be in beta for a long time? Or do we think there's a chance that this is actually out before summer's done?
Everything that they flighted on MCC has been a dev cycle of maybe a couple months.
Well, they're launching in August, the full thing.
Right.
This was just, I don't even know why they're doing a beta other than to appease people.
They probably want to test it right before it comes out to see what the lab's looking
like. Well, you know what? You know what I'm dying to see? And you guys, actually, we might be able to try this out during the test. I want to see what a PC, a Xbox Series S, X, and an Xbox One all playing co-op looks like. Because it's like, okay, who, clearly something's going to happen. Like, if it feels like nothing.
Or Will could just jump on xCloud on his laptop and I'll use the OG Xbox One.
So, like, that'll be one I'm curious, because like, I'm sure they have so many variables. Although, I'll actually, another shout out to 343 doing something right and not getting a lot of credit for it. Did you guys hear the news about Redfall, how they're handling campaign?
No, I don't think so.
Bad news if you're excited about Redfall. They're doing that stupid fucking thing that games do for no reason at all. I mean, there's a reason to it, because games are a technical disaster, but it's pretty much terrible. Only people hosting Redfall get campaign progress.
What?
Oh, wow. Yes.
So if all three of us jump into Redfall day one, only Will's making progress if he's the host.
That's garbage.
That is, but it's like, dude, so many games still do that. And Halo Infinite, this giant – oh, because remember, Redfall's not an open-world game. Mm-hmm. It's just a big game. So, like, Halo Infinite could have done that. Could have very easily just said, hey, guys, think of – because remember, people already have save data for Halo Infinite. How much more complicated it's going to be migrating – because you can have, like, your save now be ready for co-op or make a new one. You can do anything. Like, they've thought about it a lot. Like, they have collectibles already all figured out. Like, there are so many little – annoying mm-hmm. puzzle pieces they probably have to think about, and they got it all squared away. Like, obviously that might change in the beta, but like the fact that like I expected the rollout of this because it was delayed to make it messier, so I'm kind of more surprised now that it's like, oh, it's apparently will just work. I like, really, my only concession, I don't know if you guys have any others, like how much you've read from it, but for me, the only thing that I'm like, that's lazy. Like, and clearly it could change, but I think the fact that you are all literally Master Chief is the most funny, lazy thing ever. Like, I mean, to be fair, it's a callback to Halo 1. Halo yep. 1 has no fucking explanation for who that second fucking Master Chief is. So it's like, you can easily just call it a throwback and be done with it. But it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, that's the only lazy thing about it. Because it's like, it's not like you're changing your, like, armors in Infinite's campaign.
Yeah, like, well, the only problem is, like, big green who would you be then? I guess you can just say, like, well, it was just fun to have your own Spartan, and you're not really part of the campaign.
But then comes that really shitty part of me that then thinks about, like, well, maybe then you could have gone back and added new story content, and your opening chapter mission is freeing Locke, and then you're playing yes. with Locke, mm-hmm. or someone else, or anyone else, I mean, obviously you can't do the pilot, but it's like, there's anything you could have done, but yes, obviously the easy answer would just be, no, just make four big green guys run around shooting each other, because no one can see what you look like.
That's fair. Yeah. I think this is definitely a conversation to be continued when multiplayer drops, because I'm curious what it's going to do. So yeah, definitely we'll have to do a 343 versus Bungie retrospective podcast, and sure. also have a discussion, and or maybe just live stream the multiplayer, the three of us and one other person.
Yeah, we easily could. I do want to say, in case we don't get to do it before the game's out, who would like to make a wager? Will co-op launch and work, or will it be a dumpster fire? Because, like, to be fair, I feel like Halo Infinite's that game that's like, because again, like, we praised a lot of 343. They did straight up just have Big Team Battle broken for like 3 months and had for no
reason. That is true.
So, mm-hmm. so it's like, at the same point, this is also the same studio who can just launch a game broken and not fix it forever.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think that the beta may be slightly broken because they'll probably do an older build, mm-hmm. and then they'll fix all the bugs that they can and just, you know, hope that all the tape and glue.
I'm just going to lose my shit if we get another community post by Joseph Staten saying, we're sorry, guys, we're delaying this until 2023. Oh, it's like, no, just give me the broken version. I don't care.
Right, like, I just don't care anymore.
I already paid for your beta last year. Just yes. give it to me now.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if the reason the DLC is not out yet is because they focused solely on co-op.
I'll say this. It definitely can't only be for co-op. My actual genuine question is how, and I'm pretty sure, like, many people have said this before, but I heard this from one person in particular. I was like, it literally makes no sense that they haven't just been all hands on deck, get Forge out. Because once Forge is out, guess what? We can just make our own Manson. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, take as long as you want. But, like, just get the thing that where we make the game more fun for you. You think that would be their number one hurry?
Yeah. Have you seen the leaks for the new Forge?
Oh, yeah. It looks crazy.
Oh,
it's
insane.
Absolutely, absolutely insane.
And it's like, oh, my gosh. And, like, they have environmental effects, so they have snow levels and stuff. It's like, just use that. Use that. Give me more levels.
I mean, it goes back to the thing of, like, dude, who said Forge needs to launch perfect? It will be messy. It's a character and a level and a game design generator all in one in a game, no less. So it's like that thing of, like, Forge will probably be a disaster at launch, but the potential is enough to tide people over. Whereas something like co-op is just like, Jesus, dude, just launch the game with co-op.
Yeah.
Yes.
I tend to agree. All right. Well, not trying to make Will crash on Benadryl on stream. So thanks. I am going to call it here. Spencer, I do appreciate you being on here. I was waiting, just holding out hope that maybe one other person was going to join us just to make a dream come true for Spencer. But it's not.
You know what? You know what? That's okay. Will's all the dream I need tonight. Will cooped up on Benadryl's better than anyone.
Thanks. But I'm glad I'm the man of your dreams there, Spencer.
I know if you're on this stream, you're probably looking for Halo news, but if you like other games, you know, Atlas and Sega included, definitely go check out Spencer, which I will put his link in the chat now because you can't find him by searching for Spencer. Well, you could find him using Spencer Presley.
I trust my name's SEO enough that at least Spencer, my full name, Spencer Presley, would give me something. Like, I've been on the internet enough that I hope that's at least got me some kind of cred.
But I'll give you the direct URL for those that can't find him, just for the record. Hopefully I didn't just type that wrong, because that'd be even more hilarious.
Well, you know, there is a movie about me now. I got my own movie now.
Yeah, your own movie, huh?
Yeah, because the Elvis Presley movie.
Oh, gosh.
Baz Luhrmann.
There you go. Yep, the link works. So if y'all want to subscribe, do that now and check out him for JRPGs, Atlas and Sega, and Xenoblade and Kingdom Hearts, apparently, too.
I do anything. I'll talk about. You want to talk about the war? We can talk about inflation. I'll do a whole video on inflation.
Oh, no. I don't think we're going to go that route, Spencer, but if we do, I'll call you.
Yeah. No, we already had to have the unpopular opinion on Crunch Be Good, so I think we're good enough.
I might clip that and see how many hate likes I get.
It's a conversation starter. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As an engineer, I can speak to Crunch. All right. Mm-hmm. As always, without crunching Will, I'm Chris.
And I'm Will.
And I am the lonely mistress waiting every night for Will to tuck me into bed, but that won't be tonight.
Oh, no.
End it now.
And we will see you
on next podcast. Bye, guys.
What was that? Like a solid.